In the name of our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, my dear friends, fellow sheep in the flock of Jesus, fellow members of St. Marcus, and all our friends gathered together virtually today. You know, if you think about the types of animals that people admire and respect, you don't have to look much farther than sports teams and mascots. You know, we love our dogs. We have maybe great affection for dogs more than any other animal. People maybe love their dogs, but they don't respect them. And to call something a dog is really an insult. If you call somebody's looks a dog, that's really an insult, isn't it? We don't really admire dogs. But if you want to know what we do admire, it's the animals that sports teams are named after. So eagles and falcons, the great mighty birds of prey in the sky, the top of the food chain in the forest, the bears. We admire bears, and sports teams are named for them. Even small bears like cubs have admiration in our neighbors to the south. We admire lions, the king of the forest, the tigers stalking their prey. We admire jaguars. But you know what we do not admire are sheep. We maybe like sheep and enjoy and use them, but we don't really admire sheep. And so it's maybe a little awkward to have to get into that persona, because Jesus says, "You are my sheep." And our first thought is maybe, really, Jesus, did it have to be sheep? We don't admire sheep, do we? You know, when husbands get busted or caught, like when Carol catches me tracking mud into the carpet in the house and she busts me for it and calls me out for it, I get a sheepish look on my face. And I don't want a sheepish look, but it's like, ooh, uh-oh, I'm busted, I'm caught. Those are my footprints, I'm sorry. So then I'll quick kind of clean it up. But to be sheepish is not fun. To be sheep-like is no compliment. To be sheep-like means you just blindly follow with the herd and you do whatever you're told to do. Now, it's not that sheep are stupid animals. They really are fairly bright, and they also have a reasonable amount of talent. Sheep have a lot of talents. Sheep are able, for instance, just about to look behind themselves. They've got practically 360 vision. Even without turning their head very much, they can see a huge radius around them. But sheep are animals of prey. They're called prey species, meaning that they are hunted much more than being hunters. Now, the males, the fully grown males with a full set of horns on their head, do have some offensive weapons. But do you notice that Jesus does not call us his rams? He doesn't say, "Come on, rams, let's go smash down the gates of hell." He doesn't call on us to use our strength. He reminds us of the relationship he has with us and reminds us why we need him. Now, that's a big deal. We do need Jesus. So he does not describe us, although we do have our own strength and we do bring things that we can offer in an offensive kind of way. The relationship that Jesus has chosen to use in this metaphor, which is used repeatedly in Scripture, including the famous psalm we just said, is he describes himself as a shepherd of the sheep. And I think he does that for two really powerful reasons. And I'd like you to embrace this metaphor, because he's trying to tell you something about yourself, not only about himself, but trying to tell you something about yourself too. When he says you are sheep, he is reminding you that, first of all, you are valuable. Shepherds invest a lot in their sheep because they need care. They are domesticated animals. They panic easily. They are very vulnerable when they're alone, and their one strength is to hang together with the herd. But they're so valuable. They're valuable for their meat. They're valuable for their fleeces. The fleeces provide wool so that there can be clothing. They yield milk, which people in the ancient times used quite a bit. And even after they were dead, their skins could be tanned and scraped and became essentially a splendid writing instrument, or parchment, which became which actually is the vehicle for preserving the Bible in Europe, the papyrus that the Egyptians and people who lived in dry climates would use for writing down copies of the Bible simply would not last in a cold and damp climate, but parchment would, and that comes as a gift of sheep whose skin would be scraped after they were dead. It'd be tanned and treated so that it wouldn't decompose, and it became a great writing surface. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, copies of the Bible were written on sheep skins. So we're valuable, but we're also vulnerable. And as long as we are on this earth, as long as we are still living in a world that we have poisoned, we are vulnerable to all kinds of bad things. So Jesus wants us to embrace the fact that we need help navigating our way through life. And so he uses this metaphor to describe himself. We're going to take a listen to some magnificent words from the Gospel of John. And this is no accident that we'd be going to John for this metaphor. See, the four Gospels are not similar in their outlook. They're really in a group of three and one. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have a much more consistent point of view. All three are a little more action-oriented. They kind of tell the things that happened, the things that Jesus was doing. John's gospel, written almost certainly as the last of them, knowing that all of that information now existed in written form, John's gospel was different. It's much more contemplative, and John includes a lot more of Jesus' discourses, his long speeches. John's gospel is much more reflective, has more talk, not as much action. And it's in John's gospel that we hear Jesus' famous I am statements. Jesus loved picture language. For the same reason that good writers today use picture language, or the fancy word, the English lit word for that is metaphors. Jesus loved them. You know why? For one thing, they're memorable. They stick in your mind. And there are pictures of Jesus as a good shepherd all over the Christian world, in paintings, in stained glass windows, in tapestries, in every conceivable way, carving. It's a way to have something stick in your mind. Also, it's a way to make a great point. Now, here's the thing you need to know about interpreting the metaphors in the scripture, especially Jesus' metaphors about himself. There's usually a main idea or two that you need to grab onto and remember, but it doesn't mean that you have to try to apply every last feature of the story. For instance, if Jesus says, I'm like a shepherd to you, what ultimately, why are shepherds doing all this? Why do shepherds put so much of themselves, so much labor into the tending of the sheep? It's because ultimately it's a business, isn't it? What are the shepherds going to do with the sheep? They're going to take away their milk. They're going to fleece them. Every year they're going to shear the fleece and keep taking away their furry coat. They're going to kill some of them to eat. Some of them will become sacrificial. But Jesus isn't going to do any of that. He's not into tending us for what he can get out of this himself. It's not he's going to exploit or use us as some kind of commodity. The central idea of Jesus choosing to speak of himself as a shepherd and we as sheep is to show how intensely he cares personally for each one of us. It's the Psalm 23 that we just read, a psalm written by a shepherd himself, David, tells us the intensely personal relationship that shepherds have with their sheep. And the Lord is my shepherd tells you everything you need to know, that you have been given election and selection and protection and direction and correction and resurrection. All these things come from a Lord who cares about us. I'd like you to give a listen to what Jesus had to say in John chapter 10. Well, take your Bible and open it up, would you? Among Jesus' eight I am statements in the Gospel of John, this is maybe the most famous. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. And John even continued that in the book of Revelation, where he has Jesus saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the bright and shining morning star. Here in John chapter 10, Jesus celebrates this relationship that he has, the shepherd to the sheep. I tell you the truth, he says, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in it by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. An interesting little observation there. We kind of grasp the concept of the shepherd now because we've kind of had it explained. But there is a danger in that you get so into the picture language, you get so get into the story, you don't quite translate it into actual real life. But we sure have embraced that concept. You know, I was reflecting, I wonder how many Lutheran churches have taken the name of shepherd, like Our Shepherd or the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, or as was kind of popular about 10 or 20 years ago, they would pick some geographical feature of where the church was located, like a hill. There's tons of Shepherd of the Hills and Shepherd of the Valley. I thought there's got to be at least a dozen shepherd names in our synod. And so I was curious, and I actually counted. There's actually 67. We love that concept. But we got to love it not just to play with the cuteness of the ideas, but really to dig in what it means. And Jesus himself says, here's one of the characteristics. First of all, realize I am personally, passionately interested in you. You are valuable to me. And more than any other kind of animal care, the shepherds day and night really had a 24/7 responsibility to keep their sheep alive by leading them to where they knew there would be water, not a gimme in a land that would get sometimes only 4 inches of rainfall a year. They had to know where the water was. They had to know where the pasturing was. When the sheep had bitten down the available grass and there was no more, you had to move. So being a shepherd means this is a moving business. Set up shop and drive down stakes and set up shop in a certain place. You have to be moving. You have to keep your sheep moving, and you have to scout ahead and know where there is food. And you have to be aware of the predators. And so they would build the sheepfold or the pen, and the shepherd himself would lie across the gate so that interlopers couldn't get in. Not only were wild animals a problem, but as Jesus points out here, poachers and rustlers of livestock were a constant danger. And so that meant that you couldn't ever really sleep very deeply as a shepherd. You always had to have your sleep ear kind of tilted towards the sky. And just like a mom never really sleeps very well when her baby is in its first year, she's always listening to make sure that the baby's okay. Shepherds never sleep very deeply. They have to be ready to go at a moment's notice. But Jesus is saying that to show how much I care for you and that my care is 24/7. He also says the sheep recognize me. And this actually happens to be true. Sheep are bright enough to be able to detect human faces, and they also listen for voices and they respond to leadership. It's part of the software that God built into sheep brains that they enjoy being together in a flock. And that's not accidental. That's their strength. And Jesus said, my sheep, meaning the believers, are able to pick out my voice in the chaos and babble of the world. This is a big deal for you and for me. Can you hear Jesus talking to you? This is one of the reasons why the Bible is so important. It's the one place you can go over and over again where you will hear the truth, where you will hear objective truth, not truth that gets voted on or goes in and out of fashion. You can hear your God speaking to you. The Bible is your source for the voice of God. And as you read it or you hear it read to you, do you know what's going on? You're actually hearing the voice of your shepherd. And this will help you pick out in the talk, all the talk and writing that you encounter and absorb. The Bible is how you can judge who's talking truth and who's lying to you and trying to manipulate you. Where are the rustlers coming to try to steal your heart? Where is Satan, a wolf in sheep's clothing, trying to sneak in? The Bible will help you to know what is truth and what is lie. Realize that Jesus claims his leadership not as a power play, but he's really earned it, hasn't he? By being a lamb himself, by being in our sheep's skins, you might say, being inside the fleece, by walking as one of us and being one of us, he has identified with his flock in a way no other shepherd ever has, certainly not the abusive, power-hungry leaders of the Jeremiah and Ezekiel's time, painful stories of the betrayal of the trust that God had given to the prophets, priests, and kings of the centuries before, and that miserable captivity that they had to endure, the plundering of their whatever wealth they had and being removed to Babylon was a crushing act of judgment of God upon the miserable leadership that they had. But God kept his flock together even while they were far away and reconstituted them after the land had had its Sabbath rest and brought them back together. Because God, the Good Shepherd, can actually work it both ways. Sometimes he leads us and blesses us through hardship and sometimes through prosperity. He works it both ways. And in this time of economic suppression, in a time of social distancing, some of you, it has hardly made any difference in your life, except it's awfully quiet and you're kind of lonely. Some of you have perhaps had your hours at work restricted. Some of you have been laid off or furloughed. Some of you have maybe realized my company will no longer be in business. And this is a terrifying thing because you cannot just go out and market yourself again. Everything is really being cramped and suppressed. Realize that the Good Shepherd can lead his sheep through these hardships as well. Do not panic and just keep listening for the voice of your shepherd and stay true to what he is inviting you to do. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep. There is no competition." The night in which he was betrayed, then not long after he had instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." He wants no competition, and he wants us to know that his leading, his words to us are good. Even though it may seem like he's denying us freedom, when we embrace his value system, when his commandments become, his will becomes our will, it's good for us. He's not restricting us and cheating us out of freedom, power, and pleasures that we really deserve. He's actually doing things that are good for us. At the end of verse 10, he says, "I've come so they may have life and have it to the full." His leadership is good leadership. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand is not the shepherd. When a wolf comes, he runs away, and the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Isn't that a splendid, splendid concept? Jesus' ultimate gift as shepherd is to lay down his life. And he, the shepherd, became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is his great gift to you, objectively giving you his love, forgiveness, the favor of God, and the promise of immortality. And in return, he doesn't say, "Here's what you have to do to buy it from me." But in gratitude, first of all, trust me. Can you see that I've earned your trust? My ways are good, and I've come to bring you life. I've come to bring joy to your life. and I've come that you may have it to the full. He also has come to give us immortality so that this relationship will never perish. It will continue forever. So I hope you look at Jesus as a shepherd, not as some kind of control thing, but a joyful person to follow, someone you can trust with all your heart, knowing that just as sheep, we are valuable to him, but also vulnerable, and we count on his protection every day. Lord, you are my shepherd, and trusting in you, I know that I shall not want, I shall lack nothing. Amen.